Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
I love the story about the little boy that was standing at the curb in the middle of a block, waiting for a bus to come by. A businessman saw him standing there and came up and said, "Son, the bus doesn't stop here." The little boy said, "I have faith that the bus will stop here." But the businessman said, "The bus doesn't stop here. This is not a bus stop." The little boy said, "I have faith that the bus will stop here." Well, the businessman snorted and kind of started walking away. And as he was walking away, shaking his head, all of a sudden he heard the noise of tires and brakes. And he turned around and there was a big bus and the door was opening. And the little boy was stepping up on the bus. And as the little boy stepped up on the first step of the bus, he looked at the businessman and said, "You see, my dad is the bus driver." I love that story. Well, you got to have faith. But isn't it true that if you know that God is your father, then it's a lot easier to have faith, isn't it? Well, today we're going to be talking about the state of the soul. And I want to read you something very beautiful by François Fénelon. He was a great spiritual writer from France. And he said, "Alas, how many souls there are full of self and yet desirous of doing good and serving God, but in such a way as to suit themselves, who desire to impose rules upon God as to his manner of drawing them to himself. They want to serve and possess him, but they are not willing to be possessed by him." When you are in God, and you know God, and you serve God, then it keeps out the bad. And the soul in that state is able to think noble thoughts and do noble things selflessly, because the soul doesn't think itself to be God, because it knows that there is God and the soul serves God. We're going to be talking about that today, so fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is the state of the soul. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm stopping by today to talk about the connection between the mind and the body. And we all know there is one. We know, for example, that if we start worrying, then we feel it in our body, don't we? We might get a tummy ache or a headache or feel nervous or tense. And so worry has an effect on the body. And we also know that the way the body feels has an effect on our thoughts. So if you're not feeling very well, let's say, it's hard to sometimes focus. It's hard to get your work done because the feelings interfere with what you want to do. You see what I mean? And we also know that at times we can not be feeling well, but then we go to work anyway. And when we start working, pretty soon we feel better. Or we go to work, but we forget about what it is that's bothering us. So it's like having a little bit of a toothache, and you just kind of push it out of your mind, and you do your work anyway. And it's there, and you notice it kind of in the distance, and it bothers you a little bit, but you're still able to do your work. But the point is that one affects the other. We know that. Well, let's now think about the soul. We know that human beings have a soul, a consciousness. And so we're basically a soul in a body. So how about the soul? Well, the soul is supposed to reign. Let's put it this way. The soul is supposed to rule the body. And the body, the muscles and nerves and tissues and all of the faculties of the body, and the faculties of the mind are supposed to serve the soul. And the soul, if the soul serves God, if the soul has God as its Lord, then the soul serves God. And so The soul serves God and the body serves the soul. So it's a beautiful hierarchy with all working together for the good. All things work together for good. And so it is for those who love the Lord. And so it is in your body. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. So there is a harmony, there's a balance, and there's a purpose. All things are working together in a beautiful, beautiful harmony. We see in the ant kingdom how the ants all work together and the bees work together. And we know that in the body, the cells work together. But they should be serving God. And they do serve God. See, they don't, your cells don't know that they're serving God. Your thoughts, your muscles, your tissues, various systems of your body, they don't know that they're serving God if you are, but they are if you are. But the problem is, most of us are not serving God. Most of our souls are not serving God. And what are our souls serving? Well, most of our souls are self-serving. We set ourselves up as a little king or a little queen, and we judge others. We judge them. And we are like a king who has a right to demand homage and obedience and worship. And the king also can judge. So we want people to admire us, to worship us, to honor us, to respect us, to like us, to say good things about us. And we also feel we have the right to judge them when they make a mistake, when they make a little faux pas, when they don't do what we want them to do, we become impatient and then we judge them. Do you see? So it's kind of a nasty little game that we play, don't we? And so, therefore, in that kind of a system, then what are the cells of the body and the systems of the body? What are they serving? Well, they're serving a selfish soul. The soul requires them to serve it. All right? So, you want to serve God, then you can't act like a God yourself. You see what I mean?
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years. Are you feeling stressed out? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Maybe Christian stress management could help. Want to find out more? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
All right. So now, the soul that serves God will experience something called humility. In other words, the soul is humble because it knows that it's not God. You see? And how does it know that it's not God? Because there is a God and it serves that God. You see? And so it is humble and it waits upon God to see what it is supposed to do. And the good, and then that soul with that kind of humility, then serves God and is helpful to other people, because everything that it does works together for the good. You see? And so, in a roundabout way, we serve other people, but what we do for them is helpful. It's helpful to them because that's what God wants us to be and to do. You see? All right. But if you set yourself up as God, then you're going to have conflict with the real God. You see? So now do you see why things like resentment are not good and why judging other people is not good? So you have to watch out for those. Watch out for resentment. When you see it, notice it and let it pass. Don't indulge it. See? And likewise, other people. If you see a judgmental thought come into your mind, then just dismiss it. It's okay to see people making boo-boos. It's all right to see their error. Just don't judge them for it. Don't hate them for it. Don't resent them for it. Don't puff up. See? Don't puff up over others' mistakes. And likewise, if people praise you, then just let it go in one ear and out the other. All right? If they say you're wonderful, okay, just let it go in one ear and out the other. Because you're not wonderful. You know you're not wonderful. All right? If they say you're good, then just let it go in one ear and out the other. Who is good? Christ said, none is good but my Father in heaven, he said. So he didn't even call himself good. He said, God is good. So don't get puffed up by praise. But on the other hand, don't resent people when they praise you. See, people, that's all people know how to do. That's what's been required of them. And they know that it kind of works. If you flatter people or say nice things about them, then it makes it easier to be around them, and they won't pull the rug out from under you. But you also know, though, that if you flatter people and build them up, you know that it hurts them in the long run, don't you? If you build your kids up, build their pride, you know that eventually it ends up hurting them. And you also know that if you go around praising people and serving them in a wrong way, serving their pride, if you serve their pride, then eventually they will puff up, and then they will lord it over you and make demands upon you, won't they? So don't serve other people's pride on the one hand, and don't let other people serve your pride. Just let it go in one ear and out the other. But don't resent them, because that's all they know. All right? So if they do that, then don't resent them. And if you can see through their you see their motive, you see they want something from you, and they're just trying to butter you up so they can get something from you. You see it, all right, but don't resent them for it. Just see it, all right? You have to now start regarding the people around you, and that includes your family, but as almost like children. You can see as you become more aware, if you practice a little meditation that I have, for example, so that you can become more aware, more grounded in reality, then you will begin to see things and see through. You will begin to see through people. You'll see their motives, but just don't hate them. Just see that they can't help themselves, and so don't hate them. Don't resent them. Don't take advantage. See, and don't allow yourself to puff up, and then have people think that you're wonderful. See, if they think you're wonderful, then they're just being deceived, aren't they? So, don't do that on the one hand, and don't resent people on the other hand if they try to butter you up. Just see what they're up to. Don't fall for it. That's it. Don't fall for it. But don't resent them either. Because if you resent them for it, then your resentment will make you feel guilty. And then feeling guilty, then you might come around and then allow them to do it, you know, just to take away the guilt or something like that. You see what I mean?
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, helping you navigate life's challenges with poise and confidence. If you have a question or need advice, call our listener call-in line at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
All right, so I think you got the idea. So now let's get back to the soul again. So your soul, see, when it has a proper perspective, it stands back, it's objective, it's neutral, it's a little detached. It observes things, but it doesn't use things to serve itself. See, there's one, like they always said, you know, it's one thing to we have to eat to live, but it's another thing to live to eat. You see what I mean? So food, when we eat food, well, then we have some energy so we can do things. And the things that we do ought to be good things, all right? Or at least things that God is fine with. See, he's fine when he's okay with your having recreation. He's okay with your having a good time and all that. But just remember him. That's all. You remember there was an old rock and roll song? It was something like, oh, I forget what it was. Walk along the lane with someone new, have yourself a summer fling or two, but just remember I love you or something like that. Or then there's the old expression, you remember? You go home, you dance with the one that brought you. The one that brought you to the dance. You see what I mean? You remember who brought you to the dance. So, okay, you have a little fun. You know, you go play volleyball or you go to the beach and walk in the sand or, you know, you go play basketball a little bit or you watch a movie. You know, God is okay with that stuff. But just remember, somehow in the back of your mind, always remember him. You see what I mean? All right. So, anyway, so all of these things, they're okay, but if you serve God, then it's all good. But if you allow things to serve you, see, if you puff up in pride when people say something nice about you, and you when they give you something, then you puff up and feel like you're really something special. You see what I mean? If somebody makes a little mistake and you puff up and judge them. If they don't say good morning to you, and then you puff up as if, you know, they had ignored you or something. You see what I mean? So that's definitely, anytime you do anything like that, it's going to put you in conflict with God. So now you can see why those type of things are not good. They put you in conflict with God. But if you're just totally humble, you go about your day innocently. You don't expect things from people. You don't have some kind of image of what your wife should be or your husband should be or your kids should be. You take things lightly. You do things with a light touch. You don't use things. See, women, because when a man is a user, she can feel the way he looks at her, the way he touches her. She can sense that he's a user. You see what I mean? Well, some of us go around and we use things. We use food. We use the items that we have at home or that we buy, we use other people. See, we use them. You know, you use people for gossip so you can puff up in excitement over the things that you hear about other people. And so you're using them for that. You see what I mean? And so therefore, and then the ego always lives by comparison. You always are comparing yourself to other people. And you know, you look at her kids and her husband and her house and her clothes and her car and her shoes. And somehow you see something wrong with them. They're not quite as good as yours. See, that type of thing. Or if she has things that are better than yours, then you resent her for that. You think that she's spoiled, that she doesn't deserve it, and so on and so forth. Oh, the games we play. Don't you remember years ago, wasn't there a book called The Games People Play? Well, it's so true. The games people play is just endless. All right. Well, you have to, number one, don't play games yourself. Don't use other people. If you don't use other people, then you won't be used.
You may care for others, but are you taking any action to help? A Meditation Moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Sympathy is a tangible expression of love for those who are in distress. But sympathy does not always mean that you are extremely nice. It could mean giving someone true advice that they may not like to hear. A good grandfather or grandmother is one that can provide the right kind of sympathy. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
Don't allow people to serve your pride. Be humble. Just be a regular person. Don't try to be anything special. And on the other hand, if people put you down, and, you know, then just let it go in one ear and out the other also. All right? Don't resent them for it. And don't take the things that people say to heart. If they praise you, don't take it to heart and then puff up. in pride. On the other hand, if they criticize you, don't take it to heart and then think that you're no good or something like that. Just hear lightly what people say and wait until you see for yourself what is true. All right? You'll see for yourself. And if people have a little bit of honest, If people have, I can't think of the term that I want. Constructive criticism, I guess we could call that. If someone has constructive criticism for you, then don't resent the person, all right? Even if their motive is not pure, even if they're trying to put you down, and you see that they're trying to put you down, then just see it, but don't resent them for it. Just hear what they said. Then later you can lightly ponder it. And if there's some truth in what they said, you know, where you could do something a little better, okay, then you can go ahead and maybe start to do it a little better. Not because they put you down, not to prove something to them, not because you're angry at them, but simply because you see the wisdom of doing things a little better, or you see the rightness of it. So you're doing it because you see that it's wise to do it, not because of them. You see what I mean? You see the difference? All right.
Email Roland now at roland@sheddingshackles.com.
And likewise, if people are pressuring you to do better and so on, and you really can't, then just, if you have to, just go through the motions. You know how it is at school? Sometimes they're pressuring you with all these tests and things, and okay, you just don't get it, and it's just, so just go through the motions and do the best you can, and if it's not good enough for them, then that's just too bad. You see what I mean? All right. So what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say that I think you got the idea. So the soul must be a bit distant to all of these thoughts, all of these appeals, see, all of these notions, and just learn to stand back from them and watch them without falling into them and indulging them. The soul becomes corrupted and the soul becomes guilty when it indulges some kind of an emotion that feeds its ego. You see what I mean? It's the indulging it. So, all right, so there you are. Suddenly, out of nowhere, somebody says something that's totally cruel and mean. You see it. All right, it's a little bit painful. All right, so you feel a little bit of pain, but don't resent them. That's it. Feel the pain, but don't resent them. And then, if you accidentally do resent, you notice, oh, I resented the person. Then just notice the resentment. Stand back from it. Look at it objectively and let it pass. You see what I mean? But if you indulge it, see? So it's one thing to walk by a table that has some nice candies and chocolates on it. Maybe you smell the chocolates. Ooh, they smell good. Or you smell the candy. All right. Well, that's one thing. And then it's another thing maybe to have one little candy or one little chocolate. That's another thing. But then it's another thing to indulge it. You see what I mean? So I think you got the idea. So the soul has to learn to be a bit distant to feelings, a bit distant to thoughts, a bit distant to other people and their comments, and go floating through the world, almost like a tourist. I've always used that as an example, but I think it's a good one.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
You know how if you're on a vacation, and then everything is fun. Riding the bus is fun, and riding in the taxi is fun, and walking down the street is fun, and walking over the bridge and looking over at the water, at the river going underneath is fun, and watching the people in the outdoor cafes is fun, and the night light, seeing the lights at night twinkling from your hotel window, it's all so much fun. So be like a tourist and see things. See the leaves and the grass and the flowers and people and wonder about things. Sometimes you see things you don't understand and just wonder about it. You see what I mean? And if you see something delightful, you see little children playing and you hear their laughter. It's just, it's sweet. And just enjoy the beautiful things that God has made. And when people mess up and don't do right, then just kind of wonder about it. Don't hate them. You see what I mean? Go through life as if you were a tourist. Every day, a little bit of an adventure. Every day, a little bit of fun. Not too much. One of the Beatles, was it George Harrison? I can't remember. But he said, life is like a birthday cake. So have a piece, but not too much. See? Have a piece, but not too much. You go around, enjoy life, but not too much. See? Enjoy a little bit every day. Enjoy all the beautiful things that God made and the delights of his beautiful kingdom, of his beautiful realm of this earth upon which we live. And life can be very, very sweet. Don't try to figure everything out. People can be very complex, and you have no idea what's going on in their mind and so on. Don't try to figure them out. Just see, watch, stand back, observe, go about your business. All right. Do what you can. What was it? There used to be on one of the local radio stations, there used to be a great radio station in San Francisco. It was KGO. It was a talk radio station. They had great hosts, and it was just a fantastic station. And in the afternoon, they had one of the hosts in the afternoon, Jim Eason. He was very good. He used to have people come in. Billy Eckstein and would stop by, and Frank Sinatra would stop by, and Mel Blanc, the guy that would do, you know, used to do Bugs Bunny, would stop by, and all these famous people would stop by, and he had these great conversations. But anyway, at the end of his program, he would always say, "Do what you can, but behave yourself. Do what you can, but behave yourself." I always kind of liked that. So go through life like that. Do what you can, but behave yourself. Until next time. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.